We continue our learning of the Nishmas Davi ben Menachem Shem Nechan Yaakov ben Petach Shaliyo in Chulin Perek Dalin Mishnah Vav. In order to understand what makes an animal a trefa in the hind leg, we need a little understanding of the anatomy, a little background to the anatomy of the animal's leg. The human being has essentially two large bones in the leg. We have the femur, which attaches to the pelvis, and then we have the tibia. And after that, we have the foot. So there are two large bones. An animal has three large bones. It has a femur, it has a tibia, and then it has a cannon bone, a metatarsus, and only then is the foot, only then is the hoof. So when we speak about what makes an animal trefa, how much of the leg has to be removed, it's important to understand when we're dealing with three sections of the animal's leg. So the Mishnah begins. Behema shenechtchu ragleha min harakuva ulamata kshera. If the hind leg of an animal were cut, were severed, but it is below, the arkuva is a joint. Now, what joint are we talking about? So there are two possibilities. There's the arkuva ha'eliona, which is the patella, the upper joint. That's what would be on our body. That would be the knee. So on the animal may also be the knee, but remember, the animal has another joint as well. So there's the arkuva ha'eliona, there's the upper joint. That is between the femur and the tibia, which is what our knee would be. But there's an arkuva ha'tachtona, there's a lower joint, which is the tarsus, which is the joint between the bottom of the tibia and the cannon bone and the metatarsus, the lower leg of the lower part, the third section of the leg of the animal. So when the Mishnah here says an animal whose leg is cut, is severed from the arkuva ulamata, so we need to know what joint that's talking about. It's still kshera. So is that talking about where the cannon bone, the lower leg, is gone? Okay, so missing the lower leg. Oh, that's why it's not a trefa. Or does this mean that it's even cut from the upper joint, meaning between the femur and the tibia, between that arm knee, even that section, where the animal still will be kshera if it's cut at that section. So this is a debate amongst the Rishonim. According to one opinion, the joint that we're speaking about is, in fact, the tarsus, which is below the tibia. Okay, so the animal's missing that last cannon bone, the metatarsus. Okay, so that's not a big deal. It's not considered a trefa. If, of course, the leg was severed above that point, so let's say in the middle of the tibia, so that would make the animal a trefa. Now, following this view, we're going to read the next line in the Mishnah. We'll understand what that means as well. Min harakuva ulamala. That means if it's severed, the bone, let's say, was broken from above this joint, from above this arkuva tachtona, which means some, let's say, a section of the tibia were cut, then psula. That would make it a trefa. This, of course, is the strict opinion, which is saying that the only time the animal's not a trefa is if the cannon bone, the lower bone, towards the hoof, is cut off. But any part of the tibia is covered, it's problematic. But then the Mishnah says, v'chein shenital tzomes hagidin. And then, but it's also would be a trefa if literally the meeting, the tzomes, like tzomet hagush, the junction of the gidim, of the sinews, we have to see what those are also removed. So what this is saying is, and we have to see what sinews we're talking about, if those were removed, although maybe the tibia, we're speaking about the tibia now, so if tibia is cut, it makes it a trefa. Let's say the tibia is not cut, but this tzomes hagidim, this section where the junction of all the sinews come together, were cut, so that also would make the animal into a trefa. So either if the tibia is cut or the tzomes hagidim are cut, which seem to be in this section, that would make it a trefa as well, even if the tibia were not cut. But if it doesn't have the tzomes hagidim cut, these sinews are not cut, the tendons, we'll see, tendons, muscles, are not cut, and the tibia is not cut, but rather it's only the section below the tibia, that lowest leg, the third leg, so to speak, of the, not the third leg, third section of the leg of the animal, the below the arkuva tachtona, this cannon bone, the metatarsus, so that would not make it a trefa. That is one way to view the Mishnah. However, other Rishonim are more makil, and they say that when we speak about the arkuva ulamata, we're speaking about the arkuva ha'elyona. We're speaking about where if the animal has not only the cannon bone that's cut, the lower bone, but even if the tibia is cut, as long as the femur is not cut, as long as we're speaking about the section below the femur, and the femur is still intact, So that could make, that would be the mandible. That's what the Mishnah means. Ebehema shenechtecha nechtecha ragla min ha'arkuva ulamata. The arkuva is the arkuva eliona. The section of the tibia can be cut, and it still does not, and it's not a trefa. But if it's ulamala above that section, it would be psula. The problem with this opinion is as follows. The Mishnah then would mean that if the if it's minar kuva ulamala above the tibia, the femur, then it would be psul. But v'chein shenital tzomas hagidin. And we haven't yet defined what this meeting, this junction of the sinews is. We will in a little bit. But whatever it is, it's certainly lower than the femur. So what this is saying is that although the tibia, if it were severed, it would be fine, but if it's somas hagidim, which are apparently a little bit on the tibia, were severed, that would be a problem. Now, why should that be? After all, they are on a lower section of the tibia, of the leg. So you're telling me if the tibia is broken, they're fractured, I don't have a problem with that. That's severed, I don't have a problem with that. But if the tzomas hagidim are cut in that section, that which is lower, that's going to be problematic. So the Rambam and the Rif, who hold this opinion, have to defend this. And the Rambam writes the following. Va'al tismah v'tomara, don't wonder and say, ketza techa tech l'malo mitzomas hagidim v'muteres ad she techa tech l'malo min harkuva helyona. And don't wonder and be astonished at how is it possible that if the animal, the leg were cut above this junction of the sinews, it would be mutter, even if the whole tibia is cut off to the point where it's above the section of the arkuva of that joint between the femur and the tibia. You're telling me that that would be okay. Vimnechtach lematu mitzomas hagidim asura. But the section below where you have the junction of the inim, it's going to be asur. Well, don't wonder about that. Shebitrefos techotech mikan vitichyeo mikan vitamos. Because the trefa is just what's going to cause the animal to die. What's considered a fatal defect. So it doesn't matter how low it is necessarily. Sometimes you have a section you cut from over here and it will live, and you cut from over here and it'll die, just because the section that you're talking about that was potentially fatal is lower. That shouldn't be a surprise. As the Chachamim, Kamo Sha'amu Chachamim, Eino Mitrefos Zudu Milazu. You don't say by Trefo, oh well, this should be similar to this. If this is a fatal defect, this must be as well. Because you cut this section and the animal lives. And this section, which you think would certainly kill the animal, this section rather, where you cut the animal and the animal is going to die, and yet you cut this section when you think it certainly is going to die, and yet it lives. So therefore, the animal, although it's cutting the section of the Tomas Hagidim, as we'll see, will make it a trefa, but a section above will not. So that's, Rambam explains that in Hilchos Shechita and Periches. So now we need to understand what the Tomas Hagidim is. So there is the opinion of Rashi. Rashi claims that these are flexor tendons that come down onto the bone in the back of the leg. So they start in the front and they come to the back. And those tzomas hagidim, if those are cut, that could render the animal a trefa. However, there are those many who claim, not like Rashi, that it makes the most sense to understand that tzomas hagidim, this section where the sinews come together, is a reference to what we know as the Achilles tendon or the calcaneal tendon. And where's that? So we know our Achilles tendon is at the bottom of our tibia. And that would be the same thing over here. What has been removed? What has been cut? The tzomes hagidim. This whole section, which would be on the animal, though, if it's at the bottom of the tibia, this is essentially the same section where the bone would be problematic, which means the following. If it's missing the bottom bone, the lower joint, the cannon bone, which we don't have, a human being doesn't have, that doesn't make it a trefa. Right above that is the bottom of the tibia, which is what would be our ankle, although this is looks much higher up on the animal. It's not the ankle, it's above, but that's where the Achilles tendon, that's where the calcaneal tendons end up converging. So that's at the bottom of the tibia. So even if you tell me the bottom bone is in place, but the tzomas hagidim, these are removed. So even if you have your tibia in, or let's say you're missing the bottom bone, it's okay. But you have the tibia in place. We said that should be kosher, but not if the Achilles tendon are cut. So that's another explanation for what this tzomas hagidim in the junction of the tendons. Nishbar ha'etzem. Let's say a bone was broken. Imrov habasar kayam shchitasa mitaharto. So here, Moshel, we're talking about where the bone was completely broken, but the leg is not completely cut. So, you know, so let's say a compound fracture. So the leg is still there, but the bone, we know, is broken. So, and this is, we're talking about the lower bone, the canon bone, the metatarsus, that last bone, which the human beings don't have. And there, if there's a fracture, it doesn't make the animal a trefa. So the Mishnah therefore says, and we're not talking about a metatrefa, the question we were asking right now is whether or not this limb, which is not completely detached, it's a little bit detached because of the fact that it has a fracture, is it going to be, are you able to eat that if you shech the animal? That's the shayla. If you made it a trefa, there's nothing to talk about. The animal's a trefa. But nishmara etzem in a compound fracture on the canon bone, the lowest bone, which would not make it a trefa, according to everybody, now we want to know if you shech the mother, is this is what we call meduldol. It's a hanging limb. It's not really hanging that much because it's not severed completely. It's just that we know that there's a fracture. Imrov habasar kayom shchitasa mahatarto. That's what it means. If the skin and the flesh are intact around the majority of the thickness of the fracture and the majority of the circumference, so that is going to make it tar. Now that doesn't always happen. That you have the majority of the flesh around the thickness and circumference doesn't always happen. Why? Because let's say you could have the following. If a bone on one section is very narrow and another section it's very wide, so you can have a case where you have a majority of the thickness but not a majority of the circumference. So it means both. It means that I have rov habasar kayam means both of those things. Says the Bar Tanura, rov habasar kayam, dahainu shir ubasar, she'or ubasar, the skin and the flesh, chofim, cover rov of yov, virov hekefo shel shever, the majority of the thickness and the majority of the circumference of where the fracture is. Dizimnishkachas la ze below ze. You can have it where one, you don't have both. We want both. Because it's wide on one side and it's narrow on the other side. So that's why hilkach boili tavayu, that's why you need both. And if you have both, so then it's not meduldo, it's not hanging, it's not considered severed, and therefore shechita sak mitarato, the shechita is going to make this limb kosher tidvim lav. But if you don't have that, if the skin and the flesh don't cover the majority of the fracture, the shechita is not going to be kosher. This is a dangling aver, and therefore it's going to be usur. Why is it usur? So this is based on the pasuk uvasar basadet trefalo sochelu. We have this several times, several applications. What does it mean when you have basar basadet? So basadet, that includes an aver and basar that are meduldo, which means their chutz, they're like their chutz l'mechitza, so they're outside of their mechitza, they're not part of the animal anymore. And therefore, that is going to be, that's going to be usur, even though you shechted the mother, you're not permitted to eat it. Perek Dalet, Mishnah Zayin. Hashocheres ha-behema motzav ha-shilya. A person shechs an animal, and he finds the amniotic sac in the animal. So are you allowed to eat that? Well, we know when you shech the animal, the mother, you're allowed to eat even the fetus that's inside. So says the Mishnah, you can nefesh hayafa tochlena. If you are a nefesh hayafa, you're a nice soul. What does that mean, a nefesh hayafa? It means that a person's not squeamish. A person is not an istinus. If you're really willing to eat the shilya, the amniotic sac, so go ahead. It's acceptable. Veinim etama lo tumas ochlen velo tumas nevelos. Nor do we say, even though it's mutar ba'achila, it's not considered ochel with respect to being susceptible to tumah. Food is normally susceptible to tumah. So although you may be choose to, you may eat this, nonetheless, it's not considered food, and therefore it's not metame tumas ochlin, and it's not metame tumas nevelos, which means if the animal dies, the mother, we don't consider the shulya being metame like basar nevela, because it doesn't have the status of basar. Chishev aleha, but let's say a person had a machshava to eat this shulya, but the person who has intent to eat it, so even though the shilya is not considered food, if a person has the intent to do so, so then it makes it into a fruit, and then it becomes tameh if it touches any tumah. So the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah says. So now it out is susceptible to tuma like any other fruit, but still avalon tumas nevelos. Tumas nevelos does not exist. That is the fact that you have intent to eat this amniotic sac, so it makes it a food, but it doesn't make it a piece of meat. There's a difference between ochel and basar. It's not considered meat, and therefore there's no tumas nevela that would apply to it. Shilya sheyatasa miktsasa. Let's say part of the shilya amniotic sac left the animal before you shechted it. Asura ba'achila. The whole shilya is asur, even the section of the shilya that remained inside during the shechita is asur ba'achila, because we're afraid that maybe in that shilya, in that sack, maybe the head of the baby, we don't know, the head of the fetus, embryo, came out, and that would have the status like it were born and does not become a mutter when you shech the mother. So that's why if once part comes out, the whole thing is asur ba'achila. Then the Mishnah says, and just in general to know, siman vlad b'isha, the coming out of this sack, this is considered a siman that the woman had given birth to something, and therefore she has tumas leda. The general tumas leda that a woman has that we read about at the beginning of Parshas Tazria. So then that's considered a siman vlad. That's considered like she had a child, and therefore she becomes tamea. Now here, of course, we don't know if it's a male or a female. A male, a woman's tamea for 7 days. A female for tamea for 14 days. Perhaps we have to be strict. Maybe this is a female. But there's important background in understanding why we automatically assume that siman vlad b'isha when there's a shilya. And the reason for that is the ain shilya below vlad. This is not a suffix whether there was a fetus. And even if you don't see any fetus that's visible in the amniotic sac when it's delivered, we assume that it was there but it dissolved. And that's why this is a vadai. This is a vadai that there was a fetus there, we assume. And we'll see why that must be. And because of that vados, because that is definite, that's something that we know with certainty, that there was a shilya, with as a shilya, we assume there's a vlad. The only question that we have is that whether or not the head, let's say, came out, the greater part of the fetus came out, or the head, which would then consider it born. Or maybe no, maybe only part of it came out and not the head, and that way, let's say, what remained in the body would be permitted. And because we don't know, and it's possible most of the head did come out, and most of the body did come out, and we can't tell from looking at the shilya, therefore we have to be strict. But we're strict because it's suffix d'oraisa. What's the suffix d'oraisa? So the suffix d'oraisa is whether the majority of the fetus or the head came out, and therefore it's considered a vlad, or maybe the majority did not come out. But is there a fetus in there? A fetus we know is in there, and that's why the mother has to be tamea out of this suffix. But if we would say that a shilya wouldn't necessarily assume that there's a fetus inside, but only it would be possible, so then we have a svek svek, we'd have a double suffix. Why? Because number one, maybe there's no fetus in the shilya at all, and if that would be the case, so there's nothing to talk about. The majority came out. The woman wouldn't be tmei aleda, and based on that, and even if there, let's say there was a fetus, let's say there was a fetus, the first suffix is maybe there's no fetus at all. And if there was a fetus, so maybe the fetus, the majority didn't come out. That would be a double suffix. A double suffix, we would have to be machmir. Double suffix, potentially we could say, well then, based on that double suffix, then maybe we could allow the rest of the shilya that remained inside to be kosher with the shechita. And we would not give the woman tumas leida. That's what the Mishnah means, simon vlad be'isha, that in fact, if a woman had delivers in that amniotic sac, we assume that that is a siman vlad, that in fact there was a vlad there, and that is one suffix we have to be machmir mida oraisa. V'siman vlad b'behema. Then the Mishnah says that also the shilya is considered a vlad regarding a behema. What does that mean? So that's the other halacha that we mentioned, that it's the shilya, since it's considered a siman vlad, we assume that a shilya, where part of the shilya came out of the body, does not become mutter when you shech the mother. Not that part, and not even the part that stayed inside. Then the Mishnah says, Hamavakeres. Here you have an animal, it hasn't given birth at all. It's about to give birth to its first to its firstborn. Sheipila Shilya. And now, unfortunately, miscarry. And there's a Shilya that comes out. And of course, this is what we would call the Peterechem. This is the one that opens the womb. Yashlichena leklavim. There is no kedushas b'chor on that shilya. You can throw it to the dogs. You don't have to. You don't have to bury. Now, didn't we just say ain shilya below vlad? Didn't we have this principle that if a shilya is delivered, we assume that there was a vlad, and if you can't identify it, we assume it dissolved. No, we assume that most shilyos are not kadosh with b'chor. Why? Because there's another, that here we actually have a double suffix. Because number one, maybe this is not a male at all. If it's not a male, there's no kedushas b'chor. Maybe it was a female. And because of that, we can add on the other suffix. And that is, maybe it's Mishuneh. Maybe the fetus is somewhat deformed to the extent that it almost looks like another animal. And the halacha is, if the fetus looks like another creature, so then it wouldn't have kedushas b'chor anyway. So just following the rov, following this double suffix, but the fact that, number one, 50-50, maybe it's a female, there's nothing to discuss. And then the fact that maybe it's deformed, that it wouldn't have kedushas b'chor either. So then, because of that, we have the right to throw it to the dogs. Then we follow the majority that this mivakeres that just gave birth to this amniotic sac doesn't have kedushas b'chor, and you can throw it to the dogs. Uve mekudashin. If we're speaking about a behema of a shlamim, let's say a carbon that now delivered a shilya, tikaver, that shilya has to be buried. Why? Because of our principle. Ein shilya below vlad, and rov shilyos therefore are going to be kadosh, and because it doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female, it's going to be kadosh anyway because the animal, the mother was a carbon, therefore the shilya has to be buried. Vein korban asah b'parashas drachim. You want to bury the shilya. So says the Mishnah, it's an amniotic sac, I guess I could bury it anywhere. No, don't bury it on the crossroads. What's the issue? So Bar Tanur says, b'makom shadrachim is partial mishnayim. That's where you have they fork in the road, they go two different ways. Why? Because v'derech ha-menachashim l'kavra sham k'dei shalo tapilo. So the sources, people who are superstitious, they would bury these amniotic sacs of animals at crossroads. Why? Because they thought that this would be somehow effective so that there would be no miscarriages in the future. And they told us, nor can you hang it on a tree, the amniotic sacs of shilya, nibnei darkei ha'amori. That's also says about nichush, also superstition, uksiv lo taseh kemaaseyem or uvichu koseyem lo telechu. Either way, we can't follow their practices, and this is what they would do as well. Superstition would put the shilya on top of a tree as well.